Yes, I do have my cell phone. I'm not taking calls at this time. But there's no clock on the back wall, and I decided let's at least have a little safety precaution for the preacher going too long. The children are dismissed for children's church. And I think they're all gone. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, we thank you for your scripture. And we pray in this time, O Lord, you would allow your words to come alive. As we look within these pages of Isaac's life, lead us by your Spirit. As we open our lives before you, Lord, and seek that truth that you would have for us to take home this day. Fill this room with your Holy Spirit, touching every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I like your prayer, Shelby. The piece that I wonder is, so how is God going to let us know he's with us? He's going to whack us upside the head, or is he going to just lightning or thunder? And in light of that prayer, I'd like to ask the question. One of the other songs was, Who Do You Say That I Am? And in that it says, I'm a child of God. So I'd like to know who here this morning declares without any embarrassment that they are a child of God. And raise your hand. Really good. Okay. Now, as a child of God, does that mean you obey? Whoops. I was reminded this last week, I was with one of our fellow farmers, and I was driving his tractor and pulling trailers to the grain bin, and there was a lot of interesting activities involved with that. But one was where he said, you know, there's two trailers on the other side of the slough. You probably better take them one at a time through the slough because it's sort of soft in there. Well, some of you know me. And some of you maybe wish you didn't, but I hooked the tractor to both trailers. And when I came to that soft spot, I gave it all the gun that old case had. And sure enough, the first trailer went right down in the mud, right to the axles. Well, at least I had presence of mind to say, okay, we're done. We're not going to, if we get the tractor stuck, we're in bad shape. So I hooked and I took the back trailer in, and then later he rescued the other one. But I had to think how many times my father, my earthly father, had given me instructions on how to do a certain task. And of course, me and my own ambition said, well, I'm going to do it my way. And how many times did I end up in trouble? And as we come here this morning, I'd like for us as children of God, and some children who want to be children of God or looking towards being children of God, to ask the question then, in the midst of my life, do I live out the heritage I've been given and the legacy I want to leave by my obedience as a child of God? Think about that a little bit, because I want you to turn in Genesis to chapter 25 and 26, and in my Bible it lays out both chapters right before me. And we're in the middle of a family thing because Abraham has just died at the beginning of chapter 25. Now Isaac is the patriarch. Of course, he was an only son, so there wasn't any fighting around that. But then we have Isaac having two kids. They happen to be twins, Esau and Jacob. And I don't know whether it happens in your house this way, that some of your kids are just polar opposites of other kids. Is that in anybody else's house but mine? Okay, yeah, it happens. Not all our children are cookie cutters of the others. And that's this case with these twins born at the same time. In fact, in Rebecca's womb, these guys were having it out. to the point she goes and inquires of the Lord. And if you look in Genesis chapter 25, beginning in verse 21, this so bothered Isaac that Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife. Evidently, she was keeping him up at night. You know, these twins, surely nobody else. Mrs. Yoder, are you having any of that going on? Okay, not yet. Good deal. And so he was inquiring of the Lord, and she became pregnant. And then verse 22, the babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord herself. And in verse 23, the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." Is it possible that even those things that go on from the very womb could be part of the fabric that God is shaping lives through? So this family starts out this way, and the one grabs the ankle of the other as he's born, and we've got all this thing going on between Esau, who is more of an outdoorsy guy and has the favor of Isaac, and Jacob, who's more of an indoorsy guy and has the favor of Rebekah. In the midst of this, Isaac has prepared a soup. It doesn't say anything other than it was a soup, a red soup, a vegetable soup, if you will. And Esau comes in from the hunt without anything to show of the day, sort of like some of our deer hunters this season, you know, coming in without anything to prove for their hunting. He is so hungry. He is so hungry that in that moment, he gives up his birthright. Gives up his birthright, which was basically saying he gives up his right as firstborn. He gives up the legacy of his father Abraham and Isaac. He gives up any claim to that, to being a lesser son, in order to get this soup because he's so hungry. It changes things even till today. Now, I don't know what kind of child of God you are, but as we contrast these two men, we have to wrestle with the fact that as obedient children, what kind of obedient children are we? Now, we live in a very, very fast-paced society. If we want to talk to somebody, if I wanted to talk to somebody right now, I could just poke a couple things on this phone and they would hear me instantly. If we want an instant meal, we pop something in the microwave and push a couple buttons and woo, all of a sudden we have lunch. We don't have to wait for something because we can go and get a loan and pull it out and make that happen. That instant gratification has woven itself into the web of our society. When Esau despised his birthright, he did it because he wanted that right now. That instant gratification. And he lost his touch with the lineage of God that would bring about his salvation. Now, in light of that, he would take Jacob, God would take Jacob, and redeem a deceptive, lying crook into a child of God. We're going to get into that more next week. But what I gather from the middle of this lesson is, here's Isaac in chapter 26 in the passage that Drew read from us. And Isaac is given once again the covenant that was given to Abraham. That covenant that God would be with him and he would walk with him. One of the interesting things that's in here that unless you read it carefully, you miss it. And if you're reading that book, the one by Marion Bontrager that I brought out at the beginning of this. What was it again? I should have had notes. This is my notes for this Sunday. That book points out that God makes two kinds of covenants. What's interesting in Genesis 12, do you see any conditional part on that covenant in Genesis chapter 12? It says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Is there a conditional clause there? No. That's an unconditional covenant. As long as Abraham walked with God every step of the way, he didn't have do this, don't do that, do this, and don't do that. It wasn't in there because Abraham was living in a relationship, a give and take relationship with Almighty God, and he was listening to the Lord. What's interesting when you come over here to chapter 26 is verse 5 says, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws. Isaac is handed this covenant because his father walked faithfully with God. And the heritage becomes his legacy. Think about that for a moment. We visited this at Wayne Miller's funeral on Monday. The idea that one way or another, as children of God, we're living out of a heritage and we're living into a legacy. At any given moment, I am living out that which came before me. I love my mom and dad, and they both brought different things to who I am today. The X and the Y and the chromosomes and all that's a part of it. But also the behaviors and way they dealt with life around them is part of what is woven into my life today. Some of those things I choose to hang on to more fully. And some of those things I'm trying to live past. Just like I think anyone here is this morning. But I praise the Lord that my parents got me this far. I praise the Lord that they invested their faith in me, both their personal faith in who I might be and their spiritual faith in God Almighty. And I live in that heritage. But now I'm a grandpa. And my children are no longer in my home. As they were in my home, I invested in the future legacy that my children would share with the next generation and are currently doing so. Where are you this morning as a child of God? When we talk about obedience, are we obeying God so that we can get the cream on the cake? Are we living out a conditional, if you will, covenant? Or are we living out an unconditional covenant that was established on the cross by Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Savior? In other words, we come here as a child of God this morning, and we're living into a salvation history. A history of what God is doing in the world around us. What are we going to leave from what has been handed to us to this point? Just like Isaac was giving to Jacob and Esau a heritage for the future. Esau despised it, threw it away, says, I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to marry a couple Hittite women. And Jacob says, well, even though I sort of stole the birthright, And that, yeah, I don't want to mess up next Sunday's sermon, but you know he ends up running because of his deceit. He ends up paying a price because of his lies. What are we doing? And how are we living into this salvation history? If we took this Bible and laid it out, it's talking about a people who took what was brought to them and lived out, some doing really well, some doing not so well, their relationship with Almighty God. In light of Jesus Christ, everything was made level. In other words, you could come in here this morning as a murderer, and there's grace for you at the cross of Jesus Christ. Maybe you come in here as a grandparent and said, boy, I sure could have done better. That's all right. Christ gives us the ability to leave it at the cross and to go from here. In other words, through Jesus Christ's love and mercy, His blood shed on the cross, the past can be wiped clean so that we can start from this day and build a new godly heritage for the next generation. And my question is, are we living into that heritage and living into a legacy? We can start that this very day. But we have to start. We have to claim it. In other words, if you have never experienced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you've never confessed your love for Him, you can do it any time now and start a legacy that someone down the line can call their heritage. I enjoy very much living in this community because of the rich, rich heritage that is here. 4 and 5 generations of Christians have lived in this area, around this corner, and lived out their Christian lives as best they could. They didn't do everything right, but they tried. And they tried hard. But folks, that's why this building sits here now. Because someone was living out a legacy for us from the heritage they'd been given. My concern for this generation, mine, I'll speak for myself, as well as the ones that are coming after us, is that we're just a little bit too much like Esau. We want it now, we want it our way, and if it's not our way, the highway. Jacob was not perfect, but he would wrestle with God, and he would take on the heritage and bring it into legacy. This morning, I would like for you to leave this place considering, are you a child of God? And if you're a child of God, are you honoring the heritage and living into a godly legacy for those who will come after us, either physically as our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, or spiritually as our spiritual children, as we disciple others in Jesus and share that godly heritage with another generation? Are you a child of God living into your legacy, standing on the promises that have come before us and raising them into the generation that comes after us? Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, as we think of these patriarchs and how they live before you, we become mindful as your children of all that you've done for us at the cross. We make the cross our heritage, Lord. We seek to make our obedience to you, Lord, our legacy. Standing upon all the promises that you've given us in your holy word, to never leave us nor forsake us. Heavenly Father, as we go from this place this morning, we seek your face to do your will above anything else, to walk in your ways, even though the wind tries to blow us asunder, even though Satan tries to pull us off track. Walk with us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.